Bronze Ladle Studios. Here's in Shane and the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to the In Shane and the Membrane podcast. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me on a permanently temporary basis, Jason S.
Happy to be here.
You're permanently temporarily here.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. We will see.
We have a date to record next week. So I guess
we do. Yeah. We do. We're a week at a time. Yeah. Week at a time.
Jinx.
Yeah, it was. Listen, I need to start this out with some tragic news.
Oh.
I'm very sad.
Okay. What's wrong?
The lady that has cut my hair for over 30 years has retired.
Shane, I'm so sorry.
Jane B.
Shout out.
Rest in peace. She's not dead. She just retired. But to me, she's dead. You're dead to me, Jane. Broke my heart. She's cut. She's just a friend of the family, and she's cut hair out of her house most of those 30 years. But literally since when I was in college here at the University of Southern Nazarene, she cut my hair for free, which was great because I didn't have a lot of money. Yeah. She knew that. And then she knew that she was just hooking a cash cow for the rest of his life. You know, she knew that. I was like, the first one's free, Shane. You got to pay from now on. Like, Jane, you did great there. She told me that I was her longest living client.
Okay.
And I made it all the way until she got the flu. Mm. Womp womp, and then she was on oxygen. I think she's going to be fine, but I don't. Very sweet text, actually. Long text just saying, hey, you know, it's been a pleasure and all, and I'm sorry, but.
Oh, she broke up with you over text.
She did break up with me over text. Not cool, Jane. Not cool.
You don't have your phone up, but do you want to read it? You don't have to. It's very personal. So what year?
No, it's okay.
What year did you come to college at the?
1991.
So 91 until 2024.
Yeah.
How often would she cut your hair?
About once a month.
So,
oh man, I switched.
If it's 2024 and you came in 1991, that's 33 years, and 33 years of getting a haircut, approximately 25 times a year.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, it's going to be so 33 times 25.
A lot, 5 million, 500,000, 50,000, 5,000, 500.
825 times.
I was so close. I was dancing all around it.
So let's say
pretty good math.
So let's say about 800 times.
Okay.
You have sat in her chair.
Okay.
Does that sound about right?
Sure. I don't know.
Wow.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And I followed her. Like she would go to different salons. She tried different salons at different times in her life. And I followed her. I always found her. Like, Jane, you can run.
Okay. Now.
I'll read it.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
All right. I'm just going to read it. I'm not even going to pre-read it. I'm just going to read it.
Yeah.
This is from her to me. This is just from her to me, not from her to like several clients.
Multiple clients, yeah.
Yeah. I've made the decision to retire. So she knows to break it off early. Like I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah, that was
You
nice.
Don't want to build up because you know where it's going, right?
Hey, Shane.
And you're like, let's just get to it. Just do it. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Tell me that you're breaking up with me. Instead, she knows. That for everybody out there, that's the way you do it. Just hit them right off the bat with that punchline. Now, people will say don't do that because then they don't listen to the rest that you say. Mm. But let me tell you something. When people know when something like that's coming, so they're not listening to you anyway. They're just thinking, when are you going to tell me what I dread that you're going to tell me? So just hit them, and then you can say whatever you want, knowing that they're not going to listen to it anyway. So it's great. You see?
Yeah, freedom. This is a wild text. Is this you're still reading? Just kidding.
Anywho. I'm reading now.
Okay, gotcha.
I made the decision to, from Jane to me, I made the decision to retire. My oxygen level is still low, and my lungs are still congested. She was getting over the flu.
Yeah.
I've been privileged to cut your hair since your college days.
Wow.
And you are more than a client. You are my friend. I'm so happy you are in your new home, and hopefully one day we can visit you. Heart. Exclamation point, heart. Didn't know you could do exclamation point with a heart.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. There you go.
That's so sweet.
It is, and it's just, and so I had to go, super cuts or great clips or whatever. I don't know. I went to some place and just let some Yahoo cut my hair. And they cut it too short. I'm just like, this is how I spend the rest of my life. Bad haircut. Traveling the world, going to different barbers or hairstylists or hairdressers. That's another thing. I don't know what to call them.
Mm-hmm.
My hairstylist.
Just call him Jane.
The guy that cuts your hair, he's called a barber, right?
Yeah, go to a barber.
But he only cuts men's hair.
No, there's he would have clients. That
well, then what makes him a barber and not a hairdresser
or hairstylist? He uses clippers.
If you use clippers, you're a barber?
I think he only uses clippers.
He only uses clippers.
I don't think he's never used scissors on my head.
Even on the long hair on the top?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I am one of his very few clients that are
lighter skinned.
Yes. I go to a black barber named Sean, and
shut up.
Oh man, I love my barber so much, man. I think about my barber every day. I love my barber.
Wow.
But I go every 2 weeks.
I'm not going to your barber, just so you know.
You should go one time.
I'm scared.
We'll go together.
I'm scared.
He'll do great, man.
I'm scared.
You can be scared.
If we went together.
I have had three.
And you vouch for me.
I've had three people cut my hair.
Okay.
In my life.
Three people.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yvette Mitchell.
Shout out. Her full name.
541-889-4435. That's my childhood barber. That's my childhood.
If she still has that phone number, she's getting calls.
I'm going to call her after this. We'll see if she answers.
Isn't that funny how we all remember those?
I mean, it's nothing like it. So I would get my haircut from her about once a month growing up from a child until I graduated.
Wow. Okay.
And I came to school.
Wow. Okay.
And you go from to these different places hoping to find a connection with somebody.
You do.
And
you
it's
do.
So hard. And some haircuts are great. Some haircuts are bad. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I started dating Katie F.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
My current wife is actually Katie S.
She only gets one.
Right.
I'm not doing shout out second time or the third, fourth.
There was a woman who was a sponsor at her local church who was cutting hair out of her home.
Okay.
Her name was Leslie H.
Shout out.
And Leslie cut my hair for free in college.
Oh, okay.
Out of her home.
What?
And nice. she always had kind of an in-home place to cut hair. And then she had shoulder surgery. And she cut my hair about every 2 weeks for 10 to 12 years.
Wow.
All five of her girls were in Katie and I's wedding.
Okay. Wow.
And I fall in love with people who cut my hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was just a wandering nomad.
Yeah, like I'm going to be.
Yes.
I'm going on my nomadic journey here.
And so for about 3 years, and I watched a YouTube clip of a white guy getting his hair cut, just a fade from a black guy.
Okay.
So I drove to the northeast side of town and then typed in a barber.
Wow.
And I went to...
Just cold.
Yes, I went to Cutting Up on 23rd and Lincoln. And
you're so brave.
Oh, dude. I walked into this
house.
I'm
so proud of you.
And it was just Sean.
It was a house.
It was a house. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a barber shop, but it was a home, and there were four.
All I imagine is the scene, the barber scene from Coming to America.
Oh, I'm not familiar with the movie.
They're talking about they're in there, and it's a few guys. There's one old white dude, and the rest are like old black men, and they're talking about boxers. Rocky Marciano, I'm Rocky Marciano. Every time some white guy's gonna bring up Rocky Marciano.
I'll have to put that on my list of movies to watch.
This is so disappointing. I need a new host. I'm sorry.
It's temporary. This is a temporary.
It is permanently temporary or temporarily permanent.
We'll see.
I don't know.
So I walked in. It was just Sean.
Okay.
And I think it's the only time in the 6 or 7 years that I've been getting my haircut from Sean.
Okay.
That it was just he and I.
Wow.
Other times,
kismet.
Keith's there, or Chris is there, or other clients are there, but it was just he and I.
It'd been intimidating had there been multiple.
Well, I wouldn't have known who to go to.
Well, that's a good point.
And Sean said, "You looking for a haircut?" And I said, "Yeah, I watched a YouTube video," and he said, "I've seen it."
And so I sat down.
Okay.
Gave me a fade.
Okay.
And we connected. At the time he had two kids and loved to play golf.
Okay.
And
okay.
So we get so much talking about golf that I go out and give him a chipping lesson after my very first haircut.
Wow.
And I've been back every 2 weeks or more often since.
Wow.
Since that moment.
Wow. Wow. And you are his only white client?
I think he would probably say he has more, but I know I'm probably the most consistent of his clients.
Okay.
That would be white.
Listen, you take me sometime.
I can't wait. Now he does.
I'm already sweating.
He wouldn't want to do a skin fade like you do for me. It's probably a little bit too short, but it'll be so fun. And we'll talk golf.
One and a half on the sides.
Okay, yo,
in the back.
He'll yeah. be great.
Okay.
He'll be great.
Okay.
And here's the thing: you as a 50-ish year old male.
I'm 50 right now.
You have such strong haircut and such a strong hairline that even if he just does it terrible, it's going to grow back.
Yeah, yeah. When I just got my haircut the other day, I was a young black woman. I say young. She looked young, and then she told me she was 40. I'm like, you're not 40, but anyway. Wendy, shout out. She was great. She was great. She cut it a little too short up top, and now I'm upset with it. But it'll be okay because it'll grow out like that. But she's doing the back, you know, and they always hand me the mirror like to show me the back, and I'm like, why would I care what the back of my head looks like? I'm never going to see it, and no one's ever going to respond. So don't show me the back. And I said, are you writing your name back there? Because you should. Hair by Wendy. You know, it's like I could be a walking advertisement. I mean, I'm like, if you did that, that would be cool because people would notice my head. Because right now, because what you're really aiming for is unnoticeable.
Like an offensive lineman or a referee.
That's exactly right. Like, just be invisible.
Yeah.
Like a minivan. Yeah. I don't want to be a minivan. Write your name if you want. Go for it.
Do you want my barber, Sean B.
Shout out.
Do you want him to do a Nike swoosh in the back of your
no,
head?
No, no corporate sponsors. I'm just saying the individual artist
okay.
that cut my hair, like put your name on it.
He can do some designs in the back of your head. That would be so awesome.
I actually wanted her just to do it and surprise me. That'd have been pretty hilarious.
I was at the shop.
She's probably not brave enough to do that, thinking people would get upset or whatever. I would have thought it was hilarious. I'd be like, that's awesome. And I'm going to wear it. Don't fix it. I'm going to wear this until I come back.
I was at the shop one time at Cutting Up on 23rd. Sean's now in his own place. He's kind of branched out to be. He worked at Cutting Up from 18 to 36.
Okay.
For 18 years.
Okay.
And he decided, you know
Good
what,
math.
I want to kind of be on my own.
Okay.
And so he's on his own right now. So he's got his own shop. And we play golf together now.
Okay.
I text him, you know. I mean, he's a friend. Like, but I see him so much. I don't see a lot of people every 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and so the depth of relationship that I have with him is just, I love my barber, man.
Good.
He's so special
good.
To me.
Good.
And so let's go back to Jane.
Okay.
800 or so-ish times over the last 30 years.
I don't know.
You've been getting your haircut.
I don't know.
Any good memories? Any funny stories? You've been.
None at all.
No, just get in, get my haircut. How long did it take Jane to cut your hair?
She can do, and she washes. And every time.
Oh, whoa.
I don't know. I don't ask her. She just does it.
Okay.
And it's $14. Now, here's the thing, too. When it's just an individual, I've always been told, like, you don't need to tip because all the money's going to her. And all the money is going to her. You know, she's getting the $14. Versus, like, when I went to Great Clips, I know they only get, like, half of it or whatever. So then I know I need to tip there. And I did. It was $20, and I tipped $5. I don't know if that's good or not. It's 25% tip. I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know.
you've only had one experience.
No, I've had a few.
But it's amazing though that you for 30 years you've been paying between $10 and $14.
Pretty much, yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that's the most amazing part of it. Yeah, absolutely. Takes her about 15 minutes with a shampoo, and it's $14.
Wow.
No, I did. One funny thing is, I mentioned to her, this was several years ago, about how this was just after COVID and real estate had just exploded.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, your house here, you know, I think it's worth probably double what you paid. She's like, no, it's not. I was like, I bet it is. Got her wheels turning. She looked into it. Next time I showed up, she said, house is for sale. And that's because of you.
Oh, see.
They really did. They just decided to move because they had a pool and they were tired of it. They wanted to move anyway. They'd kind of been thinking about it, but then that really pushed them over the edge. And sure enough, they got it's a great deal in the house. And
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
No, that's great. But I mean, when you share your life with somebody 15 minutes a time for 800
yeah.
times,
yeah.
You, I mean, she's been through the birth of all your children, your wedding. I mean, did she come? Did Jane come to your wedding?
No. Okay. I don't think so. Huh. You know, you just think everybody's like you. Okay? That's your problem, Jason. And everybody forms relationships with their convenience store clerk or their hairstylist or barber or their mailman. You probably eat barbecue with your mailman or something. I don't know.
I have developed a close relationship.
Of course you have. Of course you have. Or the people at Rudy's that hook you up with free food and stuff because you have a relationship with them. Right? Once
well,
upon
I mean,
a time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Right now, there's some certain spots that I go to. I don't do that for the free stuff. But right now, one of my favorite places to go in the world
right.
is Cajun Corner. There's three locations.
Okay.
But I like the one at Council Northwest Expressway because of Tracy.
Okay.
Tracy takes my order there, and she's the best. She's the best.
You're abnormal. Most of us just say, hey, serve me. Let's move on. We don't need a new relationship in our life.
Mm. That's so strange to me. So I like going to... I like going to Falcone's on 63rd-ish in May.
Okay. And yeah.
I love that place because of the round table, because I like
yeah.
to be able to
We used to eat there for the Manly Men's
yes.
the movie thing or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah,
We should get back to doing a breakfast at lunch from time to
we
time.
We totally should. I'm
we
on board.
We could bring the podcast equipment, and we could do like a round robin podcast.
I love how he says we. And he knows it's me, and he knows I don't know what I'm doing. No, Jason, that ain't happening. Next.
Well, my favorite part about that table is that there's a Lazy Susan in the center, and I love
yes.
Lazy Susan.
I love Lazy Susan. My wife just bought a couple for her new cabinets, and
nice.
She's all excited. That's what gets her going.
The best.
She would write up like if she were dating someday, who knows? Her write up would be not long walks on the beach. It was like, I love organization and Lazy Susans. So if you like me and enjoy the convenience of a Lazy Susan, let me know.
Do you take her to Falcone's just to be able to just to pass things around her on the Lazy Susan?
No. No.
Well, the lady taking the orders at Falcone's usually is Leslie. Not
Shout
the
out.
Same Leslie who used to come here.
There's more than one.
More than one. But she's great.
Okay.
She's great. Yeah.
That's enough of you and talking about all the people in your life and the relationships.
Well, let's get back to Jane then. I don't know if
we
have a secondary topic.
No, I've got multiple.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to move on. That's enough about Jane.
Well,
love
God,
you, Jane.
God bless Jane for the way in which
yeah.
she came alongside
yeah,
of
absolutely.
You for
She's
going to
be
years.
Fine. It's about time. She's like 81 or 2 or something like that. So it's time. It's okay.
$14. Are you going to give her a parting gift? Like I would really think about getting her a parting gift. Like maybe
I
like
gave her $14 for 800 haircuts, Jason.
Right, and I think that's about 50% of what she deserves. So I think that you should give her a significant parting gift.
14, 15 minutes times. That's like 56 bucks an hour. That's good money.
But what you're paying for is the relationship and the expertise and the longevity.
That's what you're paying for. Just cut my hair. You know, and I want him to talk the right amount and not talk too much, but talk a little bit, but not too much. You know, there's a mix there.
Like kind of like a waiter or waitress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Very, very similar.
So I think you should think about what you would give her, a significant gift. I'm thinking minimum $250.
What about her giving me a gift?
Well, she did 825
times. I gave her $14 every single time, Jason.
And I'm saying she probably needed at least 30. To make it worth her time. She must love you. In fact, I wanted to listen to her podcast.
You know what's funny? I want to tell you one funny. I'll tell you one funny story.
Okay.
Cuts my hair 800 times.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. And Jane, she'll totally testify to this. Somehow she knows how to cut my hair. So we go in, I just sit down, she cuts my hair, boom, 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 we talk. When it comes to styling it, she forgets like every time, like, oh, I don't know how you style your hair, or I forget how you style. Like, and I'll show her like 10 times, and then she still forgets.
I love it.
And I'm like, every time you forget, I come in here once a month, and you forget every time. It's just amazing. You know, write it down. Let me take a video, okay?
Yeah.
It's very simple. put some product in it, go back, then you kind of go forward like this, uh-huh. and then that's it, you know. But she, every time, I was like, it's always funny, because, and then she always like makes excuses, and I'm like, it's okay, Jay, it's okay. Whatever you do up there, it's fine with me. I'll walk out of here, and it'll be weird for the rest of the day, and then I'll redo it tomorrow, so it's no big deal.
I'm ready for you to go to a next subject, unless
good.
You want to talk
no.
about your
no.
How much your feelings would get hurt if Jane, if you found out that Jane was still cutting hair, but she just didn't want to cut your hair.
I might have more respect for her. Be like, touche.
She's like, everyone else.
Touche.
Everyone else, when I sent this touch. Text, they decided that they would they would pay me more money, and then I decided I would still cut their hair, but I did not want to. I didn't know. I knew you would not offer to pay more money.
That's fair. That's fair. Because she knows that about me. Anywho. Look at the time.
I know. Next up. Next up. I'm ready.
Today, I'm going to give a special shout out.
Okay.
Today, literally today, is my younger sister, Angel S's.
Shout out.
50th birthday.
Oh, man.
Yep.
What a milestone.
I haven't called her yet. I'm going to call her. I think they're over in San Antonio living it up because it's their spring break.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah. So this is for a brief moment in time. We're both the same age because we're 11 months apart. We're Irish twins and all that.
Yeah.
And so from now until mid next month.
Get her on the Zoom and see if she'll answer. Be live on the pod for a birthday wish.
She won't do that. Okay. That's not going to happen. Yeah. So
I don't. I mean, I've never met her, I don't think.
Oh, you should meet her. She's nice.
Okay.
But she'll cut you. Okay, she's redhead.
Does she cut hair?
No. She's sharp.
Have you thought about cutting your own hair?
No. I did cut my boys' hair when they were younger.
Yeah.
Like with clippers, I'm like, this is super easy, you know? And I'll kind of trim up my hair with clippers sometimes or whatever. No, do you remember the Flo-Bee?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, I got it. One of the...
He doesn't know the barbershop and Coming to America, but he knows the Flo-Bee.
There's a guy at church who I'm friends with, who you're friends with. He cuts his own hair with the Flo-Bee every month.
Of course he does. He is an unusual man. Kudos to him.
I love it.
I know who you're talking about.
Do you do?
Yeah, of course I do.
What are his initials?
Well, I know he has a Bills jacket and doesn't know who the Bills are.
No,
that's
no.
not him.
Yeah, different guy.
EJ?
No.
Well, I don't know then.
Okay. I believe this is true, but Jim S.
Shout out.
I think so. I think he cuts hair with a Flo-Bee every month.
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, we'll talk about
okay,
it after
we'll
the
talk
show.
About after show. All right, so happy birthday, Angel.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Dion.
We're both 50. Welcome. It sucks. Get used to it. That's my words of encouragement for anyone turning 50.
Do you remember when your parents turned 50?
No.
Okay.
No. Of course you do.
Yeah, I remember the day that they both turned 50.
Of course. You remember everything. I remember nothing. That's the difference between us. Other than I know movies and you don't. I remember movies and you remember meaningful stuff like other people in your life. And I remember meaningless stuff like other people not in my life.
What are you going to get Angel for her 50th birthday?
Nothing. We don't get birthday presents and stuff.
You should. Like,
no.
Just like 50-something.
She'll get a phone call from me. You're welcome. My gift is my company.
Oh, that's a great gift.
I know.
50. Well, I'll think of something you should get her. 50.
Okay, fine. Fine. Yeah. We're going to move on to the main topic today.
Okay, great.
I actually have something pretty serious to talk about,
okay,
believe it or not.
I'll be ready.
Okay, story time.
Love
you
it.
Ready?
Love stories.
Okay, great. So I have a lot of friends, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Okay, thank you. Not as many as you.
No, but you
or
have
Scott J.
You have a shout out.
You can't go anywhere without running into somebody Scott knows. That's for sure.
The best. He's great.
He's the number one in. I think he knows more people in Oklahoma than like Governor Stitt, for that matter.
Probably.
I'm serious. I'm not on his level, but I'm up there. I got a lot of friends. People I call friends. So although once again my wife's cousin not on that list. This guy that I'm talking about. That was unnecessary.
That was
sorry.
Really good.
Withdrawn. So I have a friend, and I'm not going to name his name.
Okay.
I'm not even going to tell you where I know I'm from.
Okay.
But we've been friends for many years. He's a little older than me. And I know that he's struggled with drugs off and on for most of his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, his life has been rough, to say the least, and mine is not, to say the least.
Yeah.
And several years ago, we were talking, and I knew that he was in jail for just a short period of time, and he didn't have anyone to call, and I was like, you can call me. You know, and here's my phone number. As you know, my phone number is very easy to memorize.
Super easy to memorize, yeah.
That's right.
Because
don't
you worked,
say it.
Because you worked at AT&T, that's
exactly
choose your
right.
own number.
1997.
Wow.
Back in the day, I just had a whole list, and I could choose whatever. It was pretty great. A lot of power I had back then. Didn't know. That's before line number portability, actually. And so it wasn't as important. The phone numbers weren't as important because they were like AT&T phone numbers.
Yeah.
Because they had to stay with AT&T. So when you switch provider, you didn't keep your phone number.
Yeah.
Now, the providers love that because that's what kept a lot of people with them.
Yes.
They're like, oh, I don't want to lose my number, but I hate AT&T or whoever, right? And they wouldn't leave. But then line number portability happened, and they're like, screw you. I'm taking my phone number and going home.
It's like
going
to a different carrier. It's like the transfer portal of phones.
It's like the transfer portal. Everybody can complain about that and how terrible that is, but whatever. So,
I'm all for changing numbers and transfer portal, by the way.
I have. Okay, good. Oh, you're for the transfer portal.
Next episode, let's see, talking about your friend who knew your number.
I know, yeah. So, I told him, hey, I'm your friend. You can call me. It was a total bluff, you know. I didn't mean for him to actually call me. About 5 nights ago, I think this was last Thursday. Something like that, maybe Wednesday. I got a call at like 2 a.m.
Okay.
And I got my phone there near the bed now, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because we got rid of our landline. Randa finally agreed to let me go, let that go. So that was great. But I got to keep the phone right there. So I didn't reckon it's some Shreveport number or something. Didn't reckon. It's like, nope, I ain't answering that at 2 a.m. But then they left a message, and it was a pretty long message, and it was him. Essentially saying, I'm in jail,
wow,
and I'm being held in McLean County.
Okay.
But it's for a warrant in Canadian County. That's where I now live, actually.
Okay.
I'm a Canadian County resident. And I need help.
Yeah.
I need help. And I'm in here because of some bogus situation or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I need help, but I got to go because it's about to end. And okay, what am I supposed to do with that? I don't know. I have no idea, right?
Whoa.
So I'm just like, I don't know how to contact him. I don't know what I'm doing. This whole world to me is very foreign. So so I do nothing until he calls me back like around 2 o'clock that next day. And I saw the same number, and so I answered.
Nice.
And it said, you know, automated voice saying, inmate from McLean County calling you or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it was free. I guess you get like one or two free calls, but they're only like a minute and a half.
Wow.
So he comes on, and he's like, Shane, yeah. And he tells me what's going on. Same thing kind of he said in the message or whatever. And then the voice comes on like, you have 59 seconds. I'm like, holy cow, we're like 30 seconds in.
Oh, man.
Like, okay, you better get to the point, bro, because we're going to get cut off here pretty quick. And he's like, there's a candy. It's a bail bond. I don't know. And you got to help me post bail or something and go talk to her. Oh,
man.
Okay, I don't have much more to go on now. But listen, we're good friends.
Yeah.
I care for him. So I'm like, all right, I'll put forth effort. I don't know what I'm doing, but I could pick up a phone or I could Google, and I started doing that. So sure enough, there's a candy bell bonds, and he told me another couple names. He's like, she'll know or whatever. I'm like, okay. So I call the phone number. Bell bonds. That's literally how the phone's answered. Okay. Not nice.
Is this candy?
This candy's bell bonds. Candy speaking, how may I help you? No. Bell bonds. I think it's a woman's voice. I don't know. Smoked 2 packs a day since she was 3. Hi. A friend of mine, the guy's name, and she's, and you would know him, and he's in, no, I don't know. Okay. What's his mail? I don't know. I don't know. He's in McLean County or something. Look it up. Get back to you. Do you know my phone number? That's caller D. I'm sure she's just assuming I'll call you back on the same number, but it literally, I'm not joking. That's like how short the call was. She's like, I don't know. I'll just look it up. I'll get back to you. Okay. That was productive. So I'm like,
this is a great story.
Well, I tried. I called Candy. Candy. So I'm like, I don't know what else to do. You know, I don't know. I did a whole lot of nothing because I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to get a hold of him. I didn't do a lot more research or anything. I just kind of was waiting for her to call me back.
Yeah.
So that's about 2 o'clock. Well, about 8 o'clock that evening, then I get the Shreveport number calls me again. And it's him one more time. And he's like, I'm out of calls. I'm using someone else's like free call or whatever.
Whoa.
I was like, okay, cool. And I told him, I looked up her and I didn't get anywhere and blah, 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 blah. And so he's like, listen, yeah, just call another one because they're open 24 hours a day. Because I was like, oh, I'll do it in the morning. He's like, well, they're open 24 hours a day. So you can do it right now or whatever. He's like, do it right now because I don't want to spend the night near her longer. Oh, okay. So I looked it up. And sure enough, there's somebody just Canadian. And I called that, and it's like 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night or whatever, you know, called the number. Bail bonds. I'm like, is this Candy? No, it's Bob. All you bail bonds people sound alike to me. So,
I'm glad he told you because I would have assumed Monday to Friday.
Oh, I know. No. They're all open 24 hours, come to find, because it's just like their cell phone or whatever. And,
yeah.
And then maybe they have somebody else that's on call. Because, like, if you're going to give them a bunch of money, they'll take your money in the middle of the night because they know, you know, people want to get out of jail at whatever time.
Yeah.
So I talked to Good Guys Bail Bonds. That's
good
the
guys.
Name of it.
Yeah, shout out.
Good Guys. Yeah. And the guy was really, it took a minute, but I kind of broke through. And then he was, like, super helpful.
Amazing.
But he's basically saying, hey, he didn't show up for court and he skipped bail or whatever it's called. And he's like, now no bail bondsman's going to post bond for him. Because the way that works is, like, it's $4,000 in this situation. So you normally it's 10% is what you have to pay.
Okay.
So you have to pay a bondsman 10%, so in this case $400, and you never get that money back.
Okay.
And they actually don't even, this is my understanding, it's very rough, but they don't necessarily even put the money up with the county, but they have on record, like they have a bond with the county that kind of guarantees them the money if you don't show up to court.
Okay.
So if you do show up to court, they're off the hook there, and they keep your $400 and everything else, right?
Okay.
So they're just kind of vouching for you.
Okay.
And if you don't show up, then the court takes $4,000 away from them. Hence, then you have Dog the Bounty Hunter that's coming after you.
Sure.
And the bigger that is, so if it's like $100,000, you know, bail, and you pay $10,000 or whatever, and then they got to pay the court $100,000, well, they're going to come after you.
To bring you to court.
That's right, because once they bring you to court, they get their money back. That's the way that whole system worked.
Okay.
And so he's telling me, he's like, no, man, you'd have to put up the full amount.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, my gosh. He's like, even then, I don't know, because McLean may need to transfer him back or whatever, because McLean is just, like, holding him, like, as a favor for Canadian, because I guess he got pulled over or something.
Okay.
And this is all for, like, drug paraphernalia, okay? It's just individual drug charges. Huh. Nothing beyond that, okay? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I don't know, okay. So he just basically tells me, no, I wouldn't do this or whatever. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I hear you, bro. I won't do it. So the next day, then I figure out, and this is kind of sad, but you can go on any of these counties' websites, and you can view, like, current inmates.
Sure.
Big old pictures of them.
Mm-hmm.
You knew this.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that. That's kind of like, whoa. Okay.
I've done my share of jail visitation.
You have.
Through the years, yeah.
Yeah. And you've been in jail a few times, right?
As visiting, not actually as an inmate.
Oh, never been held. My bad.
No.
You're a good boy. You've never been. You're the opposite of Bo and Luke. Like, they've been in trouble with the law since the day they was born, and you've never had. Have you ever gotten a speeding ticket?
I've gotten a few tickets before. Yeah.
You have? Okay, yeah. Good.
I got a ticket.
I'm surprised they don't pull you over, and then by the end, you're witnessing to them or something, and you're making them your best friend, and they're escorting you to wherever you need to go, to your daughter's golf tournament or something.
I've gotten a ticket for turning right at Lake Hefner Parkway coming south at 63rd.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
I've gotten a ticket.
Nice. Did you lie and say, I didn't see the sign?
No, there are three signs that say you can't turn right there.
And you said, oh, I saw all three of them.
1 o'clock in the morning.
But I chose, yes. Oh, so there's no one around.
Nobody around.
Except you and the cop.
Except for the cop. Yeah. And then I got a ticket for turning left on a Well, we've heard that story many a time.
Yes, yes.
But it's okay, though. So you are trying to figure out, what do I do now since it didn't work out because you can't really post bail?
That's right. So I go to the McLean County website.
Okay, yeah.
And you can do a video visitation.
Fantastic.
Now, the whole thing
costs money.
Everything's a racket.
Yeah.
And that's the word I'm going to use, because we've privatized so much of it. And most of us don't know. We have no idea about what's going on in this world because we don't deal with it. I didn't, so I didn't know. So they're like this City Teller Group or whatever, this third party, for-profit party. Mm-hmm. I literally put $30 with them. They took $10 in fees. So I only had $20 in my account. And then it's like $1 a minute to do this video visitation or whatever. So I was like, all right, whatever, man. It is what it is. So I click the inmate I want to do the visit and then start, and then it just sits there, and it's like nothing, like words or something saying your visit will start shortly or something like that. I'm like, okay, I trust something's going on here or whatever. And it took about 10 to 15 minutes, somewhere in there, a while. And then boom, this big old bald black guy pops up like right in front of the screen. I'm like, I think I got the wrong number. Because that guy was helping him.
Okay.
But he was like your stereotypical, you know, prisoner. And I was like,
hi. Oh, get the camera down.
Throw it off the desk. So then we had the video. And the video visitation from the group that you're using, the service you're using, they got no limit because they're just like, you're paying for it, so we want you to talk as long as you want. Now, I think they have a limit.
Okay.
Like the actual facility. So we're chatting, and now we're finally able to talk more. And he's telling me what's going on. He was pulled over, and he had this warrant outstanding for Canadian County because he didn't show up for a court date because he said his attorney didn't show up, and then his attorney was disbarred or whatever. But listen. I'm hearing a lot of it, and I'm like, this is typical victim mentality speak of a lot of people, and I know what it sounds like, and I get it, and I'm not saying that none of this was right, but it's just like somebody else's fault type, and that's what so many people, you know, in situations like have that victims, you know, the victims mentality.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, so you could have gone to court, but you didn't because your attorney wasn't there, so you thought you shouldn't go to court. But I would have gone to court and just say, my attorney's not here, but I'm here, so don't arrest me. Anyway. So he's explaining all this to me, and I tell him what I've found out, and he's like, no, that's not right. I'm like, what, do you want me to argue with him? I mean, they're not going to post bail because I argue with them. You know, they deal with that too. They're used to dealing with these kind of people who have this victim's mentality. They're always excuses and always somebody else's fault or whatever. And so, but then he tells me, hey, I'm staying over at this place in Oklahoma City. And there's a lady there. She's a good friend of mine, and she can help us out, you know, because he couldn't get a hold of anyone else. Like, I'm the only one he could get a hold of on his limited calls or whatever.
Wow.
I know. So he's like, I don't have her phone number, but I know where she lives, and this is the address. And then about that time, a guard came over, because this is literally like in the cell of someone else's cell. Huh. It's like on the wall, and I could see out the door, but I could see like two prisoners in the orange jumpsuits just sitting there on their cots or something on the side. And then he's called out, like, I think it's a guard that calls him out saying it's over, and because we only had like 5 minutes or something. Wow. And he's like, it's over. And then they told him, come over and shut it off or whatever. I was like, okay, guess we're done here. So I'm like, okay, what do I do now? And so I called the only jailbird I know, which is Mike D.
Shout out.
Mike D from the church.
Mm-hmm.
Are you supposed to laugh at that?
Well, you don't know. I mean, you never know. You never know what's in somebody's past.
Let me tell you something. Mike D is the best boy ever. He's the goodest of the good boys.
Man, isn't he the best?
And there's no way in the world he would ever. I don't know if he's ever been pulled over, or he's never been in trouble with the law since day this. That's for sure. So no, I did not call him because he would have been the last person I would call, because he has no idea about that world. I just picked up the phone and I started calling people. So I called McLean County Sheriff's Department. Now, every person I talked to, they talked to me.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. Nobody just, no, we ain't kidding. So they said, hey, well, we're just holding it for Canadian County, so you got to talk to Canadian County. Okay. Call Canadian County Sheriff's Office, you know. And they immediately, like, I'm so used to the world that I live in where everything's private and they won't tell you anything. And that world is just like the opposite. Huh. Like, oh, yeah, who is it? Yeah, the bell's this, they're this, because all this is public.
Yeah.
It's posted online and all kinds of stuff. So they're just telling me all kinds of stuff. And they told me the bail and everything. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I get my friend out of jail, you know? And they're like, well, we'd have to have him brought back here. I'm like, okay, well, what do we need to do? Whatever. Well, you could talk to the county clerk's office because then, you know, they might have something else you could do. Whatever. Call the county clerk's office. And they're like, well, you could talk to the DA's office. I'm like, call the DA's office. Talk to the DA. Not the DA, but like an assistant DA.
Wow.
And she talked to me. She was actually quite nice.
Amazing.
And I said, hey, just trying to help my friend out, get out of jail or whatever. And she's like, well, we'd have to do a writ, and then we have to get him transferred over here first. We have to get him transferred back to Canadian County, and then we can get him in front of a judge, and then we can actually do something. But we got, and I'm like, okay, well, what do I need to get that done? She's like, well, I'll tell the person that puts in the writ or whatever. Well, then meanwhile, all the other people, like the bail bonds guy I talked to, and this other chick that I talked to, which is coming, they were saying, no, that's not right or whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm like, okay, well, I guess nobody knows what's right or whatever. I get the feeling that it's loosey goosey, and there's. Huh. There's many ways of going about stuff, but anyway, so she's very nice, but she's basically just saying we've got to get him back here first. I can't do anything until that point, but I'll put in a note with the person that does that, and we'll work on that. Okay, now come to find out, if in bigger counties like Oklahoma County, for example, they're big enough and they have enough resources that they're making regular trips to these smaller outlying counties on a regular basis. And they'll just go pick up their prisoners.
Okay.
So if McLean was holding someone for Oklahoma, they'd be like, well, Oklahoma comes at 1 o'clock every day, so just get ready. 1 o'clock, we'll transfer you back over there. Then you'll go to the Oklahoma County Jail, which is probably – and I've been there. I toured that facility, which is terrible.
Yes.
We're building a new one, though, right?
The plan is yes.
The plan is, okay. It's you've toured that facility, have you not?
I have, yeah.
It's terrible.
It's and I've visited it that
is dreadful.
Facility a lot.
Oh, it's the worst. And I'm like, eee. So anyway, but the smaller counties, they don't have the resources to do that, to go around and pick people up all the time. So you got to like put in a note. And she said, put in a writ. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And then the other guy's like, no, that's not what, no, they don't need to do that, blah, blah, blah. And you can get them released directly from McLean County. If Canadian County says, blah, 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 I don't know. I don't know. My head's spinning. So then my next step was, all right, well, I'm going to go over this house. And I knew this was kind of like a halfway house. It's in a regular neighborhood.
Okay.
Only like 2 miles from here.
Yeah.
I was like, just go over there and knock on the door and see what happened. He told me a name. And I'm like, okay. Is this girl here? Yeah, okay. So they're looking at me all weird like, and then I say, hey, I'm a friend of Jess. Oh, yeah, she lights up. And then she comes out and there's a little couple chairs and a table on the little front porch area. She's like, here, let's talk out here or whatever. And so then she lights up and she's going on. And she's really good friends. And he's been helping her while. Shoot. Okay. I may go back and try to edit that one out.
Yeah.
Dang it. Okay. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay.
At that mark, I'll note to Shane. So I talked to her for length, and basically she already knew what was going on. And she just said, hey, I know what's going on. And I told her what I kind of figured out or whatever. And she's like, listen, I can... You know, I appreciate that, but I don't know what's best for him, and we'll figure this out together. Whatever. And I just basically told her at the end, I'm deferring to you because I don't know. I'm not close enough to him, but I'm deferring to you. And she said, okay, got it, or whatever. And I text her my number, and then she texted me back shortly after and just said, you know, hey, so lucky to have you. Whatever. I was like, okay, I don't know about that, but whatever. And so then... I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm done here, you know. So that was like Wednesday or Thursday. And then on Friday, I get a call. No, I get a text. It's like 9:30 Friday night. I get a text. And it's – how many times am I going to say it and I keep messing up? But I'll edit both of those out and probably enough of this. So he texted me and said, I'm out. Can I call you? And I'm like – oh, absolutely. You better right now, buddy. So he does. And he's like, I'm out, but I don't have a lot of time to talk or whatever. I'm like, did you escape? Is that what's going? Because I don't think I'm down with this plan. Like, you're tunneling, and I got to pick you up somewhere shady or something.
I have seen Shawshank Redemption.
Hey. Okay. If you had, I'd be like, we're done. Our friendship is done, frankly. So I'm like, what happened? He said, I faked a heart attack. I'm like, wait, what? And then he tells me he literally like was saying he had heart trouble, and then they moved him to one area, and then they moved him to another, and then they finally put him in the Purcell Hospital. And now somebody was coming to pick him up from, and then he's like, then my ride's here, whatever. And I'm like, well, call me later and fill me in on more of the story, because I don't know what else is going on. Anyway, so all that being said, I live in this world of Jason S's and Mike D's.
Sure.
Okay, of good boys and girls. Yeah. And I'm so unfamiliar with that side. And my friend who was incarcerated, I think he's a good guy. He does, but he has his demons, yeah. and drugs is the main demon in his life. And it's tough because on one hand, I'm like, there before the grace of God go I, right? Like any of us could have fallen into that trap,
yeah.
and then be stuck in the cycle. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm just like, is this the right answer? You know, what we're doing to these people mm-hmm. for individual drug use, mm-hmm. you know, nonviolent individual drug use. I'm just like, why is that even criminal mm-hmm. anymore? Right? Like you can drink alcohol till you're drunk off your butt, and that's fine. You know, as long now you can't drive, obviously. And, right. and I guess when you're out in public drunk or something, maybe that's not, you know, allowed. Or but in your own home or in a bar or wherever, you can be drunk. And I'm like, that's okay. But using drugs isn't okay. I don't understand it. I really don't. But I'm just like, why are we still doing this? Mm. Right? Like, what is the point in this? I just don't understand the harm to society. I understand the harm to the individual.
Yeah.
And we don't want people to do that, because even when it weakens individuals, it individuals is society as a whole.
Sure.
So I do understand that, but I just don't think this is the answer at all. Incarceration is not the answer. If you want to get them treatment or something like that,
yeah.
then there you go. Thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that there's definitely some tragedy in response to people with addictive behavior and how society has treated
yes.
people with addictive behaviors that yes. are detrimental to themselves and society.
Yes.
And I do think that some of the work that Pastor John has done with Judge Stoner in the drug court.
Great name.
So it's a great name. can we give him a shout out?
Shout out. I feel like he was made for that role. Literally, the guy's name is Judge Stoner.
Yeah.
And he is the drug court
judge.
Okay. Yeah. So perfect.
So good. Kismet. So good. We're working with two individuals right now in the life of the church that I go to and that you go to in homes that are recovery homes.
Okay.
And one is in a recovery home because they graduated from drug court.
Okay.
And so their
congrats.
Their criminal sentence was moved to Judge Stoner's court, and then they graduated from Judge Stoner's court.
Okay.
And rather than being in jail, they are in a recovery home.
Okay, perfect.
And so, I mean, there are some ways that, and I have a sister who was a prosecutor in a
yes.
city.
Yes.
That she loved drug court. She loved.
Oh, really?
She loved when
okay.
she could move somebody to away from criminalization in incarceration.
Yes.
To treatment.
Good.
And
good.
So I think that there are perhaps plans in place, but I do believe what you said at the beginning. There is a brokenness to the system.
Yes, yes.
And there is an underlying cost and financial difficulty that
yes.
becomes with the privatization of some organizations.
That's exactly right. Once you privatize something, and it is, and let's be clear, these are for-profit companies. They're not 501c3s.
Yeah.
They are for-profit, and they profit when they have more customers. More customers equates to more prisoners,
yeah,
because that's their business, right? So that you can't do that. You governments, you can't do that. You cannot privatize any part of that entire process, because that's what happens when you privatize. Then profit becomes king, And you're way more concerned about profit than you are about that recovery or rehabilitation or any of that, that you masquerade and you use the excuse of rehabilitated. And what does that word even mean? It's from Shawshank.
Okay.
No, Sonny, I know what you think it means.
there's a heartbrokenness to the brokenness of the system.
Yes.
People who listen to this may not know how I'm going to always try to see the bright side and try to bring out the bright side in everything. It's kind of who I am in a lot of ways.
I know. I love you for it. It's great.
I do think that there are some bright spots in a very broken system. And my hope is that over time we can grow recognizing that, let's say 20 years from now, the decriminalization of incarceration for those who, rather than, and I think this also goes with mental health issues too.
Yes. So 100%.
Can we have mental health court? Can we have drug court be more pervasive?
Right.
So we can really help individuals who don't need jail time.
Yes.
What they need is actual help.
Yes. Well, and I'll argue if you get to a lot of these people early enough, you're going to prevent them from becoming the career criminal or even the violent criminal, that type of thing. I think a lot of these people, they're going down this road and drugs or whatever plays a big part of it, and then they don't get that intervening that they need, and then that's where it spirals down to.
Yeah.
And so it would solve a ton of your problems, our problems as a society, if we cut these off at the pass versus just throwing them in jail, because that exacerbates the problem, in my opinion. That does not help. It makes it worse.
I agree.
And it's just such – I get it, right? It all – you create processes to just evolve over time to fill the need.
Yeah.
But then what happens is they solidify into a profit, into a process, and it's not exactly right, but it's just kind of evolved over time. And it's way easier just to continue on with that process than it is to go and revamp and correct the process, right?
Yeah.
It's easier just to let it go. And then
changing a system is so hard.
Unbelievably difficult. And coupled with the fact that so many of the people that are in power profit from the current system.
Yeah.
So it's they are against it inside because they profit off of it. They can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, they're like, I make more money off this and it's fine. It's going to be okay. So you've got so many things working against you here. And I agree, there are some bright spots, and that's what we do over time, that we, the general public, has to speak loud enough. You know, and I think our voices are getting louder. And the more people that we have in our lives, like this individual, this friend of mine, that we're touched by, it's going to personalize it that much more, and then we'll get more involved and be like, now I understand, and now I'm on board. And if you want me to show up to a rally or something, now I'm really on board because I understand the brokenness and the level that's at.
It's become subjective and not just objective for you.
Yes.
It's about a person now.
I'm going to pretend like I know what both of those words mean because I always am confused with both of them, and I use both of them. And I'm like, I think they mean the same thing, but apparently they mean two different things.
It's near to you. It's not far away. It's a problem in your actual life. It's not something,
I know
that's,
that.
Something that's out there.
Near and far, I know those words.
So in but you said something that's very interesting too.
Okay.
You didn't want to just fix the solution at the problem. You wanted to do some preventative maintenance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I think that some of the friends that I've read and come alongside, what they're wanting to do to like help with education with kindergarten through third graders.
Okay.
Because if our third graders are on a reading level up to third grade, they have a better chance of not going to jail.
Of course.
And so
of course.
What do we do? What can we do as individuals, as government, as churches, as 501c3s, as local nonprofits, to be able to say, okay, if we can pay our public school teachers more money,
right,
if we can come alongside reading scores, can things happen? So you rather than just sort of like fixing the actual like trouble of the criminal justice situation, which is going to take 100 years.
Yes.
Can we also?
Yes, it is.
Can we also take alongside? How can our public schools perform better?
Right.
And then, but it's so interesting, Shane. Life is so hard.
Not yours and mine, but other people. Yes.
Yes, but even you carry problems and trouble.
Okay.
I think that everybody has a hard time. you and I have been privileged in ways where we could handle those troubles and those problems in ways that are not so detrimental to ourselves and society.
I will totally agree with that. And so I will totally agree with that. Our load is light enough that we can carry some for others.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for those of us that are privileged to be in that position, it's our responsibility to do so.
I love it.
It just is, right?
So one of my favorite,
you could call that Christian if you want to put like a religious label on it, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If you want to just say that's someone who does good for the sake of society, I'm okay with that too. Either way, it looks very similar, and it means we have the bandwidth and the ability to help others, and therefore we should. And I agree with you. Everything's connected, right? I believe that most criminals aren't criminals at birth. They are shaped through their lives and every step along the way. And you're right. The more advantages someone gets, and if they get fed and clothed, if they get a good education off the bat, if they get someone that even cares about them, right? These are all the makings, the stable foundation for someone who's not going to have to resort to being a criminal. But when they don't, and it's so shaky, and they don't have all, there's not a lot of options. And then a lot of people are going to disagree with that. I'm like, people that are privileged and have that strong base, they're going to disagree with that. And I'm like, you don't know what it's like. And I don't know what it's like either, frankly. Yeah. But I can comprehend it, and I can give value to that and say, I don't know what that's like, but I can see how if you don't have all the advantages that you and I had, that your choices be much more difficult, and you may have gone down a road that you didn't want to go down, but you kind of felt like you had to go down, and there you are. And if we can do that early enough, then we can prevent so many of these problems downstream. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
And not for everybody. There'll be people who are privileged who fall into addictive behaviors.
Of course there are. Of course there are.
But
yeah.
I think that for more often than not, man, what you said, that was really good. Because one of the things I've heard poverty is it's not just financial, it is relational.
Yes.
How many people can come alongside me and my network to be able to call, that you know their number, that you can be able to step into the life of somebody and really and get a chance to help them.
Right.
And you could call a dozen people and they would just and just be like, Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. I am definitely George. From It's a Wonderful Life.
I saw it this for the first time this winter.
What?
I believe that's the one I watched. What was the plot of that one?
Okay, so he thinks that the world would be a better place without him. So he jumps off a bridge to kill himself.
Yeah,
I watched it
this year.
It's a great show, isn't it?
It was a great show.
There's a reason it's been known as one of the best shows ever.
I loved it. Shout out to Linnell S.
Shout out.
Who gave me that DVD because I told her.
You have a DVD player?
Well, of course everybody does. It's 2024. I mean, I don't watch VHS anymore.
Okay. You have some cassettes with you. You got a Walkman in there.
What a great show. But you were saying George.
Yes, in that you're right. I do have a lot of people and I listen to me. The greatest is love, right? When you talk about the Beatitudes, the fruits of what's it called?
The fruits of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit.
But in 1 Corinthians 13 is when it says the greatest is love.
The greatest is love. And I take that to mean if you have love, someone who loves you in your life, that's the greatest need in your life, frankly.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it to me, you know, and because there's so many stories about, we grew up poor, you know, but we had love or whatever, and then they were fine, you know, because I'm like, well, you had what you really needed, which was parents who really loved you and cared about you. But rich people don't have that too, you know, and then they get into trouble because money isn't enough. Anyway, getting sidetracked there. So it really opened my eyes to this world that I normally don't see. And now I'm understanding and I have more of a heart now for people in those situations.
I love it.
And I'm on board. So if you need me to I don't know about going to Sean, we'll talk about that after. But hey, last thing, and I'm totally changing the topic.
No, no, I want to interrupt. I want to say thank you.
Go ahead.
It all started with you telling a friend, knowing their story.
Yeah.
And then saying, if you ever need me,
yes,
here's my number.
Yes.
That's where it started.
Okay.
I mean, so what you did was you allowed somebody else in your life to say, I can call you, which
I,
the world would. So my good friend, Marty M.
Shout out.
Talks about.
McFly?
Yes, actually. Yes. he believes that. If
what's
we,
that from?
That I've never actually. I think that's Back to the Future.
Good for you.
But I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Jason, sorry. Continue.
He has a when he talks about the gospel, he talks about the gospel according to human flourishing.
Okay.
Like, and so the gospel is the good news, and oftentimes the good news for those who are on the margins.
Okay.
And so if you, whether it's Isaiah 63 or Luke 4, there's this recovery of sight to the blind, the release of the captives, the release of the prisoner. Like,
okay,
there's this heart of God that wants people who are incarcerated, who are in trouble,
yes,
to have freedom, right?
Okay.
There's this, I would say that at the heart from the gospel story onto the people of God, going all the way back to being slaves in Egypt. I mean,
yeah,
there is this desire for freedom.
Yes.
Whether that is slavery, incarceration, you know, or the own prisons that we make for ourselves.
Addictions.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
So
yeah,
there's this heart of God for freedom. And so, I mean, I don't want our listeners to think like, oh, Jason has to make a gospel story out of this one. But I have a hard time.
They're
not,
already thinking that.
I haven't have a hard
don't
time not doing that, right?
Like, it's okay.
So if each of us
that's
had
who you
somebody
are
who was in our life,
yes,
who was perhaps not part of a church family,
yeah,
that it was extended to say, like, if you need me. I mean, I have a friend that we've talked about quite a bit in Sunday school. I'm not going to say his name because he's
okay,
also someone who's been in our congregation his whole
life. I know who you're talking about.
And some of my favorite stories are when he is known, he can call me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can help.
Now, that's not enough because you and I both know someone else, and I'm not even going to, you're going to know exactly who someone else that was in our Sunday school class once upon a time,
yeah,
who has plenty of resources,
yeah,
right? Social,
yeah,
resources,
yeah,
and still struggles, and still that's not enough.
Yeah.
So it's not always, and I'm not saying that it is, but it's a big part of it.
And it speaks to the power of drugs and addiction.
It really does, but there are so many people, you're right. And so for me, yeah, that the least I can do is answer your call.
Yes.
And make a few calls. It's not that
yes,
difficult.
Sir.
That's right. To pick up the phone or do some Googles, it's not that difficult for me to do that. I'm not going overboard. Oh, that's so great of you. I'm like, okay, I'm spending like 15 minutes of my time or whatever. It's not that big of a deal, frankly. But I do. There are some people in my life who I recognize they don't have what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about worldly possessions. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, I'm saying more of like that solid base,
mm-hmm,
and the network that I have and everything else I have going on. So when I recognize that, I'm like, hey, you've got me and my network.
Yeah.
Because I've got that network.
Yeah.
Okay. And as long as you've got me,
yeah,
you're plugged in, man.
I love it.
And that's the way this whole thing works.
It should work.
It's
yeah,
not about, I'm not an important part of it. We all play a part in it, and we all connect. And I can see that now, and I can connect you to another world that you're not.
Yep.
And I think if that's what I can do, then so be it, right? Like,
yeah,
I want to be that person for them. I don't know. It sounds so many people are going to take that wrong. Like, oh, Shane's plugging them into this.
No,
you know,
no,
rich
no,
white world or something stupid like that. It's not about race. It's not about socioeconomic group even. It's just about a different group of people who care and frankly probably do have resources and the heart to help that can provide help. And so and maybe it's someone who doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So they don't have a lot of people like this friend of mine. He didn't have a lot of people he could call.
Yeah.
And frankly, because he's burned a lot of those bridges.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I'm the one guy that at least just picks up your call,
mm-hmm,
then so be it. Now, I wasn't, I mean, there was an extent to which I would go to help him.
Sure.
I'm not going to pay $4,000.
Yeah.
Because I can't guarantee you're going to be a court or whatever. And I don't even, frankly, I didn't even know if that's what you really need. I don't know that that's the right answer here.
Sure.
I don't. So, but I know the right answer is for me to go alongside you as much as I can.
Yeah.
And hold your hand and say, I'm here. and I don't know what I can do, but whatever I can do, let me know, and I'll try to do that. And it has its limits, but at the very least, I'll pick up the phone when you call me.
Love it.
So great. Anyway, yeah. All right, that's enough. Look at that. Look at that. Time flies.
Look at the time.
Good grief.
Yeah.
So okay. Well, hey, Angel, happy 50th. Welcome to the club for a month. We're together once again. Hope she listens to this. Probably won't. That's okay. And my mom told me she's trying to figure out how to watch it.
Oh.
Hey, Mom.
Well, wave at you.
Shout out. If you figured it out, great. She's a little technologically challenged. She's switching TV providers, and that's just,
No.
Yeah. So that's a struggle. Even for me and for someone else who's technologically challenged, she's struggling with that. So she's trying to figure out how to watch it on her phone. I'm trying to help her out, but
hi, Mom.
We'll see. So, all right. Well, Jason, thank you again for
Thanks
joining
for
us. You're welcome. And I know you've got to go here pretty quick because you got to go do some scouting.
Yep.
Good luck to McCall.
Thanks. Shout out
to her upcoming golf tournament. Yeah. If she listens to this, I'm sure she's going to do great.
She has
got a great resource, and this guy, this professional level golfer that's going to help her with all the pointers and map everything out. It's going to be great.
I love golf so much, man.
I know. Well, especially when you can do it with your child.
Oh, it's the best.
I bet. That's what I'm saying. Life's pretty great. Yeah. So anyway. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And until next time.